Every month, usually on the eve of our first Friday show, we visit with Josh Gross about musical happenings in the region. Josh is the music editor at the Rogue Valley Messenger. Back in the studio with me once again. Josh, good to see you.
Glad to be back again.
So, let's just jump right in. Why don't we hear a little Double Plus
Good? Oh, yes. Right, I love these guys. I'm so excited about this one.
Okay, Double Plus Good. I'm fascinated always by how musical sounds come around again. This sounds like it could have been from a techno band from the 80s.
I'm a child of the 80s, so mm-hmm. I'm certainly bringing you a lot of those influences. But these guys definitely have a very big 80s thing, but it's got an unmistakably sort of modern vibe. It's like somewhere between like the Smiths and like sort of like early 80s, like dark synth wave, and honestly there's a band called The Drums out of New York that I think they're pulling a lot from, but The Drums are also said to be very much of the 80s too. But I love that it's got that kind of like almost operatic, you know, sort of vocal style with a lot of like heavy synths in the background. I mean, you can almost like hear the sound of just putting on too much mascara, as, you know, it's like so
like early Depeche Mode and stuff.
I'm way into that, but I'm really excited because these guys kind of came out of nowhere. They've been around for a while. They've got like 3 albums out, but I'd never heard of them before, and so I was like, what's this? Oh my God, this is amazing. And they're going to be doing 2 shows in our sort of coverage area. They're going to be November 4th, they're going to be at Rip Ribbit's Theater in Eugene, and then November 5th, they're going to be at Howie's on Front in Medford, which is an unusual show for Howie's, and I'm sort of excited to see how that goes because they're more of like a hard rocker bar.
Okay, I noticed Howie's on the list twice because they're also going to have the Kyle Gass Band, which we'll get to in just a couple minutes. But so Howie's tends to go for harder rock acts.
They tend to be a harder rock. I mean, like, you know, they had Trapped there last night, who apparently are still a band. It's like, you know, they got guitars all over the walls. It's cool. So I'm a little curious how like a bunch of like a gang of synthesizer nerds is going to go over there. And I'm excited to see how that one goes.
So is synthesizer nerdishness making a comeback? I'm just curious about general trends.
I would actually say that we're in the post-guitar era.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like this was something that was sort of it was articulated very well to me in an interview I did with the Cherry Pop and Daddies, a band out of Eugene, and they said this sort of like the pre-Elvis era was the horn era, and they imagined that their band was a band before Elvis had ever existed. Just imagine Elvis never existed, their band would still, you know, everything was driven by horns, but after Elvis, everything was driven by guitars. But up until, you know, that was up until about 5 to 10 years ago, which the dominant instruments became laptops and synthesizers, and we really moved into a sort of like post-guitar era, which is a big thing. And what's interesting is that there's the sort of tension between analog synthesis and digital synthesis, like who are doing sort of samples and, you know, creating stuff out of like found pieces and digital manipulation versus who's actually like creating electrical signal through like the turning of knobs and wires and stuff. And it's interesting because of how closely it's intertwined with tech and the internet. And you see that a lot of people who play synthesizers don't know very much about music, but they know everything about like computer programming. And there's a reason for that. Is sometimes you have to kind of think about it in a different way. It's much more like
obtaining sounds and channeling them.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a different approach in some ways because like when you're playing like a physical instrument, it's almost like emotive. Like you're like it's an extension of your emotions. You're pressing a key and you're making a noise come out of it. And with synthesis, you sometimes have to like program a single path. Like, so you're thinking about it more like a math equation than like a sort of like, oh man, I'm just feeling it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that changes the sort of like directions that you go. And I think it's fascinating to see how much, but it's definitely making a huge comeback right now. But conversely, I think you're also seeing a big reaction to that with the rise of sort of old timey music.
Kind of folky back to
the land. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of people. You got a lot of back to the land. People are like, we don't want any of this technology. We're good. Let's go back to banjos.
So where does Franks and Deans, our next,
Franks and Deans. Oh man, these guys are just going back to the classics, you know, and they're melding some stuff. These guys are a Rat Pack tribute band. I'm a sucker for a good tribute band, and then they bring a great style to it. Let's hear them.
Let's get a listen. Start spraying the news. I'm leaving today. I'm gonna be a part of it in old New York. Place like a mushrooms are longing to stray back to the very heart of it in old New York.
Do you remember a band a couple years ago called Me First and the Gimme Gimmies?
Do I remember them? They're still a band. They're one of my favorites.
Are they really? Okay, this reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going in a similar route where they're kind of doing the punk tribute act. But these guys have taken a new route with it, which is that they're sticking exclusively to sort of the Rat Pack, the Golden Voice crooners of the 60s or so. And they really do a great job with it. I've known the guitar player, Ryan Sampson, for a long time, and he used to be in barbershop quartets. So he's got they've just got a great harmony. And it's a good theme. They stick to it. They've got tuxedo t-shirts. They kind of see the whole thing through. They've got matching guitars. They're really going for the whole lounge act, but they're kind of pulling it down from this we can do our own spin on this, because they're sort of the house band at this place in Las Vegas called the Double Down, which is infamous on the sort of underground punk circuit. They pay every band $50. Doesn't matter how famous you are, you get $50.
Oh, wow. So, and they're going to be playing, Franks and Dean's playing where? Makes sense. Franks and Dean's. Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin.
It's clever, right?
Yeah.
They got two gigs coming up in the area. They're going to be playing November 18th at the Twilight Cafe in Portland, which is over in Powell, if I remember correctly. And then they're going to be November 20th, that's a Sunday, at Johnny B's in Medford. But that one, they're actually going to be, the opening group is a 80s cover bluegrass act. So it's, been calling that one the Battle of the Rat Pack versus the Brat Pack. So I think that one's going to be really fun.
Sounds good. Okay, Sean Hayes comes highly recommended. Well, why don't we hear Sean?
Hear Sean.
So it's clearly not the same Sean Hayes who was on Will and Grace years ago.
No, not that one.
But wow, what a voice.
Yeah, he's got a heck of a voice there, Brownie, as they would say.
heck of a voice there, Brownie.
Sean's a really interesting character. He's had some somewhat high profile acts. He's duetted with Amy Mann. He's toured with Alnie DeFranco, and he's had some placements here and there in film and video, which is kind of one of the big inroads into the major markets at this point. But he's really kept it independent the whole time, and he just says it's kind of independence for him was that was the point when he realized, I can either do this or not do it, and if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to have to go it on my own rather than waiting around for the right people to be in place. And that was when his career sort of started to take off, and he's really built a pretty solid career in the end. He plays here in the Southern Oregon region at least once a year or so, and he pretty much consistently packs/sells out the house. And it's not common that independent artists can do that, but he's built a sort of fierce loyalty through that and people feel he's one of us. It's not he's some detached thing. And I think his voice, his style, just sort of the way he conducts himself really all speaks to that. So people feel a very close connection to his music.
Josh Gross, our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the music editor from the Rogue Valley Messenger. We're talking about the musical acts coming to the Rogue Valley in the weeks ahead here on the Exchange. So in the way that the music industry was damaged heavily by the internet, in the sense that people could share songs without having to buy them, it sounds like it also a lot of artists have been helped by the ability to
be discovered
in non-broadcast sorts of ways.
When you say damaged, you have to say who was damaged, because most of the musicians in the world were being damaged by the existing industry. So what it did is it kind of shifted the power a little bit. It democratized is usually the term used. Because now anyone can literally be, anyone with a laptop can be their own recording studio, their own record label, their own distributor, their own marketer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't need to go through people who are going to make money off
right.
of you.
And in some ways it's really saturated the market, but it's also, when it's saturated the market, it's kind of allowed stuff that would never get the opportunity to be heard, and that's really changed it away from a single driven format to more of a sort of whatever you know, I read a great piece the other day. I was like, what about what happened to all the indie bands that have all become artists, like solo people? So it's really been the rise of the solo artist and the, you know, the two person thing, which is cool because it's kind of like entrepreneurship, you know, in a way that whereas before it was kind of like you were in hock to the, you know, the 1%, the man, as they say. And now it's given this sort of golden age of being able to go it on your own, which is pretty cool.
Well, and something that political candidates talk about all the time, helping entrepreneurs start up small businesses.
Right. And
that's,
know,
what they're doing.
And this is actually my great crusade with the world, is that people go, oh, look at that. That's cute. You're like playing a guitar. And I'm like, no, lady, I'm a small business. Like, I make my own t-shirts, I make my own CDs, run my own record label, I do my own marketing, you know. And you notice that places that have like really strong musical cultures or, you know, cultures like parts of London, New Orleans, they have people placed in their city government or chamber of commerce who really take the view that this is much more about entrepreneurship and small business and what can they do to help facilitate that rather than impede it. And I think that those tend to be the cities that then really thrive because they see that that's okay, so if the artists and the creators do well, then that's appealing to other people who then want to come here and spend money or open businesses or buy houses or stuff. And it's all sort of cyclical. And when that's sort of denigrated or undermined or just not really taken very seriously as, you know, like a business or as, you know, or as a legitimate enterprise, then you see that like cities kind of tend to dry up. So I think that they tend to live and die by their creative class and by the strength of their creative class. And the thing that really makes or breaks that is acknowledging their sort of status as, you know, entrepreneurs.
We didn't talk about where Sean Hayes is going to be.
Oh, she's right. Sean Hayes is going to be at – he's got two gigs in the area. He's going to be at the Brick Room on November 6th, and he's going to be at the Hi-Fi Music Hall in Eugene in November 5th. So.
Okay, so Saturday in Eugene and then Sunday in Ashland.
Yep,
okay.
That sounds right.
Kyle Gass Band. People might have heard from Kyle Gass in the past.
Kyle Gass, the super, super, super talented backup man from Tenacious D, his band with Jack Black. Just the two of them, this guy. Frequently billed as the greatest guitar player in the world. Might just be. Let's hear a bit of him.
Okay. Child. So, well, you mentioned that Howie's in Medford tends to be more of a guitar kind of place.
It's more of a guitar kind of place, yeah. And I think the Kyle Gass Band's a perfect fit for them because it's just like, hey, we're a little old, we're a little chubby, but you know what? We can still rock out, you know?
Just as we put this clip up, I got the notification that this concert's already sold out.
Is it really? Oh, well, you know what? It's a month away, so that's high praise. I mean, there's a reason... it has a committed following, and it really is that good. Like he really is sort of like Tenacious D's secret weapon, you know, that everyone saw, like, oh, Jack Black has this intense voice.
Yeah.
But if you had listened, the guitars were just out of sight, man. This guy could really play. And it sort of was the thing that brought it all together, and he just does this on his off time when, you know, when they're not doing Tenacious D or whatever.
Okay, let's see if we can get Sean Hayes is sold out? Is that what you're telling? Okay, Sean Hayes is the one sold out. Kyle Gass Band is not sold out.
Oh, well, okay. Staying corrected.
Okay, so let us move on to the Motet.
The Motet, yeah, these guys are funky.
Okay, let's hear them. Wow, so this is another kind of throwback. It's a sound I remember hearing earlier in my life.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, but it's also like a sound that's real big right now in resurgence because it's generally falls into, I mean, it's clearly funk, you know, funk-based, but it also falls into what's kind of known as groove music or the groove scene, which is lots of big festival stuff and kind of like big dance parties. And these guys, they're from Colorado. I'm not sure, Boulder, Denver area. And, you know, I'd seen them around that area. And they would play big, like, 1,000-seat capacity. I think they may have done Red Rocks. Because they just bring a big funky dance party. And, you know, some people who want to sort of sit, sip coffee and, like, angrily contemplate the complexity of the rhythms. And some people who just want to, like, shake the booty a little bit. And these guys really play to that. And that's a big growing scene, especially with festivals, outdoor stuff. And they really do bring, like, a big, like, funky, sweaty dance party. And there's a lot of groups sort of pulling from that where people are like, I just want to dance. I want to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And these guys are going to be playing at the historic Ashland Armory in Ashland on November 19th. And I really do think the Armory deserves credit for, like, bringing a lot of those acts into the area, saying, like, you know what, let's have a big sweaty party. you know, I'm personally a big fan of, like, small, you know, like, keep things interesting and vibe, but I love a good sweaty dance party here and there, and these guys are really going to bring the thunder on that tip. So,
Josh, thanks for bringing the thunder and your interest in musicians and acts. It's always great to have you here. Josh Gross joins us on the eve of First Friday most months. Thanks again for being here.
No problem.